Live from Kakariko Village. Broadcast throughout the Retroverse, transmitted to the real world via a maze of wires connecting the Super Nintendo to a Wii, to a Wi-Fi network, and finally to the Internet. The Techno Funk Boy presents the Retro Zoo Super Show. Here are your hosts, Kai and Steven.
Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to the Retro Zoo Super Show. Well, I have to say, this has been just an exciting week. This has been just an exciting week for us and for me in particular. I've been doing almost nothing with my spare time except, you know, mixing and a little bit of re-recording and stuff. But we have a full release that is out, that is done, that is finished, that is uploaded. And I don't know that it's hit all of the individual stores yet, like iTunes, like Amazon for sale and download. But I know it is now available at CD Baby. And if you haven't been keeping up, and talk about this a little bit, and during our break, we're going to play some clips from some of the songs. We're not going to do a whole episode, on it, but, did want to play you, just little clips of the songs, and that way you can get an idea of what, of the, I kind of the vibe of the album, because, you know, we mostly do like EDM, synth pop type stuff. And, this album is it literally is a soundtrack for a horror, podcast, actual play show. And so it has kind of a bit of a different vibe than what we normally do, but it does still have that techno funk boy background to it. And so, wanted to let you hear a little bit of it. And our patrons are going to be getting the full album, as part of the music tier of Patreon at patreon.com/technofunkboy. And that's going to be the cheapest way to get this thing, for sure. And that also has, all of the other stuff we were releasing and our new patron only show, Bloopery, which is a retro game music show. And so I do hope that you'll check that out if you dig the music here. It will also be on the Dice and Dreary Patreon as well. Should take a step back. We did the soundtrack for the podcast Dice and Dreary, which is an actual play Dungeons and Dragons podcast that is, leans toward the horror and the horror games, and is currently doing Curse of Strahd. And this is music, the original music that we did for that podcast. And I've been thrilled with the result. This is the best stuff that we've done. This is the best stuff I've written. And I'm really, really proud of it. And so it's kind of been like that all week. And there's a level of excitement that, that I've had, knowing that this day is coming, the end is in sight, and just have to, get the last little bit before I can pull into the station and take a break. It's not going to be a long break because the next one is not going to be far behind it, but a little bit of a break. But so that's kind of what's been going on, and I've been playing almost nothing. I'm going to try to start playing Final Fantasy for the after years in preparation for our next big series. So after episode 100, I think probably starting with episode 101, unless something just comes through that we'd really rather do, we're going to be doing a Final Fantasy IV series. I posted some Final Fantasy stuff on our Facebook page, and y'all just, I didn't know you liked this game this much, but you clearly do, and that's exciting to me because it's definitely one of my all-time favorite games. It's probably the game that tugs at the nostalgic heartstrings more than any other game. This was not my first JRPG, but it was my first JRPG to own. I played Dragon Warrior on my cousin's copy because I happened to be I was at his house. I was staying there for a week, and like on the Monday of that week, he got Dragon Warrior in the mail. This was one of the Nintendo Power giveaways that if you subscribe or re-up on Nintendo Power, then you then they would just send you this game as part of the subscription, and so he got it, and of course we plugged it in and played it, and I just fell in love with that game immediately, and I fell in love with grinding immediately, which was really weird. But when Super Nintendo came out, I didn't get Dragon War at that time. I got it a little bit later, but when the Super Nintendo came out and Final Fantasy II came out, and it was just everybody who played it was just floored by it. And so I was like, I was really trying to get my hands on it. And, we had this like really, really minor student newspaper at the time. Like, it came out twice, like, you know, like for the year. And it was just really nonsense. There was no news in it. It was just ramblings of students. But my column in it was reviewing video games, and I was trying to pick a couple of different games that I could talk about, and I wanted one of them to be Final Fantasy II, and so I tried to rent it, and just none of the video stores near me had it. And so I ended up renting Draken instead, which was interesting. Yeah, I'm still not sure if I love or hate that game, and I think it's a little bit of both. But I wasn't able to play it, and I finally did get it, and just poured myself into that game and played it multiple times, and I just absolutely adore it. And so we're going to be talking about that come the new season. I don't know if we're going to start over just calling it season 2 episode 1, or if it's going to be episode 1 or 101, probably the latter, but I'm kind of thinking of it as a season that, you know, that we're going to be concluding an era and in coming back, and things are going to be a little bit different, and not in any huge way, but we are going to be setting up the show and recording a little bit differently, and so we'll talk more about that come in a, I guess just a couple of months now. We're coming up on episode 100 very, very quickly, and I just, yeah, it's unbelievable that we've gone through so much together, and I've just absolutely had a blast. But today we're going to talk a little bit about bootleg soundtracks. You know, I've kind of had soundtracks on the brain, and it got me thinking about my own video game soundtrack collection, and like all of the kind of early day revelations for us Americans who were going to anime shops and picking up these discs that that they might be illegal. And so we are, we're going to chat a little bit about that. And so without further ado, I got my first soundtrack. Speaking of Final Fantasy, this was for Final Fantasy III. It came with like an insert that folded out, and it was an advertisement for a bunch of stuff that you could buy, essentially straight from Squaresoft at the time, now Square Enix, mostly dealing with Final Fantasy and their other big games. But I mean, goodness, Final Fantasy was the big thing that they were doing at the time. And so it had just some kind of various things in it. But one of the things it had was you could order the 3-disc soundtrack. And so this was especially appealing to me because, like with a lot of people, the opera in Final Fantasy III, the SNES Final Fantasy III, otherwise, Final Fantasy VI, just really, really had an impact on me. The whole scene is just a masterpiece in game making. It was also a masterpiece in music, and when it comes to the aria, in that I remember where I was. I was playing at a friend's house, and we were just sitting there listening to it. It was just striking how beautiful that song is, And that, I had noticed soundtracks before, but that's when the first time I really zeroed in on the soundtrack. And I started really listening to the rest of the soundtrack for Final Fantasy III as I was playing through it. And, for Final Fantasy II, SNES Final Fantasy II, I had enjoyed the soundtrack, but I didn't focus that much on it. But then after that point, going back on it, I started really noticing just the theme they played during the Mist Cave, of how interesting, mystical and different that is. Because it's like the first level of the game, and you're expecting some sort of fighting theme that, you're getting up and going, and you're about to, try to save the world type thing, and instead you get this very deep sound, these long strings, and this song that just kind of lulls you in into the mist, into the mystery of the cave. And it coming back to it and really letting that music, affect me and wash over me. It's like these themes really started hitting me harder. And so I instantly had fallen in love with Nobuo Uematsu's music, after that point, and really started noticing his brilliance in so much of the game. And especially like going through Final Fantasy VI, it's like that game has such incredible use of music throughout. And by the time you get to the end, when you get just this massively long prog rock, epic piece, that's taking you through the last battle, it has an impact on you. That's very striking. I had my first like real job, and it was in high school, and I was starting to make some money. And so I ordered it, and it was, it was 3 CDs long. And at the time, so for those of you who are old enough to remember CD players in a car, a lot of us didn't have like CD player up front that you loaded into the front of the stereo. A lot of us had installed, because our cars didn't come with CD players quite yet, we had installed a CD changer in the trunk. And what you did was you loaded in I 6, 10, 12 CDs into this changer, and you locked it in, and then you could pick any of those discs. But it was remarkably hard. You couldn't change it on the road. You actually had to park and get out and go change it if you wanted to change a disc in there. And so I was delivering pizzas, and so I'd load it up. And it was always so frustrating when I just suddenly wasn't in the mood for these discs because it's like there's nothing I can do about it. I would take up like three spaces in that changer for this, and I just play it, and I played that thing so many times that it became ingrained in me. And that was my first video game soundtrack. So now fast forward to probably late 96. I was in my first year of college, and Final Fantasy VII was going to come out soon. And I remember I had a friend who was actually a drummer for the band before we had drum, actually before any of the current members. He didn't last very long, but we hung out together, and he introduced me to an anime store, which I had not been in before. And at the anime store, I found a Final Fantasy VII soundtrack, and it was 4 discs long. And I was like, oh, I didn't know this was a thing. I didn't go to stores that had these imported soundtracks. I didn't even know that Japan was like doing this regularly, which they of course were. That video game soundtracks was a big business over there. I thought this was like a special thing that Square did just for Final Fantasy III, and I couldn't just get these other things. And so I bought it, and I didn't even know I hadn't played the game yet. But I was getting a feel for the music, and without playing the game, the music it feels very odd. And it fits remarkably with the game, but it's like I didn't even know it was more of an industrial modern game. And so the industrial sound of the soundtrack, which is brilliant, it really kind of hit my ears unexpectedly. And I was like, wow, it just sounds very mechanical. And of course it's intentionally so. And it's a great, great soundtrack. But I got to know the soundtrack before I ever started playing the game. And so when I hear the themes for the first time in the game, it was like, I was more than prepared. I'd heard these over and over again. And it's like, oh, so pumped, to hear it. And so time goes forward again. And finally at the mall near my house, very near my house, I noticed that there's now an anime import store. And they have a whole section of CDs, and there is Final Fantasy stuff there just lined up. And it was about this time that I had loaned out my Final Fantasy III set to somebody who, before he gave it back, joined the military and left. And I never saw him again. But it was about that time. And so I was seeing all of the Final Fantasy soundtracks, and I was realizing that I could listen to any of these. And then I was finding arranged albums. And so it's like you had the OSTs, the original soundtracks, or the OSVs sometimes, original sound version. And then you would have arranged albums where they would take the songs from the soundtrack, and they wouldn't give you the MIDI sound straight off the SNES. they would actually arrange it and perform it, and they would have songs. And so there were like Final Fantasy vocal collections, and like they would have a couple, maybe one or two for each album. And one would like be a, like a piano, a solo piano album. I remember one of the really great ones was, Celtic Moon for Final Fantasy IV. And it just, it had all these songs in a Celtic style, and it was great. It's just great. And, that I remember, what was it called? They had one for Final Fantasy VI, Grand Finale. That's what it was called. It's Grand Finale, where I adored the arrangements on them. The performance was not as good. And it's really disappointing because the arrangements are wonderful on that track. But I found myself listening to that quite a bit. So the first one I got was like this greatest hits thing of arranged tracks. And so it pulled, certain songs from different arranged albums and put it onto one. And I played that to death, and I bought it for my friend. And, I had found Uematsu's email address on a website. And I was like, okay, well, whatever. I'll just email him. And he wrote back, or it might have been, some bozo pretending to be him, but I don't think so. And he wrote back. And, he was very nice. very much just overcome by this world that I had just entered, and was just excited about it. And I didn't know, it seemed limitless. And so I started collecting all the Final Fantasy soundtracks, and then I started branching out, and it's like I'd played like Castlevania Symphony of the Night by that time. And so I had the store order me that soundtrack, and it remains one of my favorite CDs to this day. And so I was amassing this massive collection of mostly Uematsu stuff, but I was also grabbing a lot of the SNES stuff, especially because even though it was PlayStation era, the SNES had already just really won my heart. And so I was getting a lot of that stuff. And so I was getting stuff like Chrono Trigger, and that sort of thing. And, I remember that, we were starting to get American releases of stuff. When I ordered, Secret of Mana, it came with a single, disc of music. And it was just very cool, because it was like, finally Americans were starting to catch up. You know what I mean? But then there was one problem, because I ran across a post online that asked the question, are you getting legitimate, video game soundtracks, or are you getting bootlegs? And this, I was taken aback by this. And so I read, and then I looked at my Uematsu collection, and I was heartbroken, because literally every single CD that I had in that collection was Sonmei Records. And this was this article saying that these are bootlegs. So more on this when we get back. But again, we're going to play some clips from the Dyson Dreary, The Mists soundtrack. And so remember, patrons for both Dyson Dreary and Techno Funk Boy, patreon.com/TechnoFunkBoy or /Dyson Dreary, on the music tier of each of those, get this album in its entirety. It's just over an hour long. It's full length of 14 songs. And so if you like this stuff, please do look into it. It will be, hopefully very soon on iTunes, on Amazon, on Spotify, and all of that great stuff. And so, please do check that out. But we will be right back. We are back. So, where we had landed in this story is that I was just looking at my collection that had cost me hundreds of dollars by this point, hundreds of dollars. And I was finding out that they were all bootlegs. And I really did not know what to do. I started looking into replacing them. But the Son May, records of these discs at the store typically priced them at $15 per disc. And so, you know, a four disc set might be $60, but a one disc would be $15. And that was pretty close to just domestic CD prices. You know, that we'd go down to Blockbuster Music, which hasn't existed for some time, but we used to do that a lot. And, you know, a lot of those discs were running around $15. And so this was a fantastic price for an import CD. And so I started looking into, it was like, well, first of all, where can I get like a real Japanese import? And I was having trouble finding them. I'm sure people like in the know knew exactly where to go, but I didn't. And I did end up ordering, because I couldn't find it at the anime store where I was, but I had to order the Final Fantasy IV soundtrack. And it was one disc, it was $40. And that was legit, you know, imported from Japan. And it was $40. And this was in the 90s. And so, you know, it's like that was more money then than it is now. And it was one disc, and they crammed those songs on that disc, and it really frustrated me because I did love that music. But instead of, you know, most of these discs, they would cycle the song twice and then fade out. But to get this crammed on one disc, they would cycle the song only once. You only heard the loop once, and then they would fade it out, and that was very, very frustrating. And the songs were just too short at that length. And it's so I was frustrated at that. And I was like looking, it's like, man, to actually replace this, it's going to cost me a fortune. And I didn't necessarily have a problem that I had bought bootlegs as much as I had a problem that I'd spent hundreds of dollars on Uematsu alone. And it frustrated me that he was not getting this money. And so I started seeing the story more and more on the internet as I would browse, specifically at Sonmei, because that seemed to be like the big, at least in my region of the world, that seemed to be the big one. Like when I had bought the Final Fantasy VII soundtrack, and that was at a completely different anime store, but that was Sonmei as well. And so I knew that both of these anime stores, probably the two closest ones to me at the time, were both pretty exclusively through them. But I returned to the anime store, and it had been a long time since I bought anything, because I was very frustrated at this, and I wanted to support the artist that I loved, and I came through at one point, and I noticed that they did not look the same. And in fact, they looked a little higher quality. And so that was one of the things with Sonmei. And that's one of the reasons they were be able to produce them so cheaply, is that the, you know, the music would be from the originals, but the packaging just was exceedingly cheap. And, you know, they didn't have as lush of the, of liner notes and that sort of thing. And that's one of the reasons they were able to keep the price down. But these discs look like much higher quality. In fact, one of the first ones I grabbed, and this was Piano Collections for Final Fantasy VIII. And I happened to grab it before recording here. It's got a sleeve on it and everything. And so it's like, oh, this is fantastic. You know, they're finally, you know, getting the right material in here. And so I snagged it, and I was especially pleased with this one, because it's like you open up the notes, and they have this just very nice picture of Uematsu with two other people who I don't know because it's all in Japanese and I can't read it. But they're sitting, you know, there's the one person sitting at the piano and they're all at the piano, is in the recording studio, and it's a very great color picture. And then it's got the piano music for Eyes on Me, which is fantastic. I mean, I couldn't read this then in my 20s, and I definitely can't read it now, but it's fantastic that it's in there. And so I was very, very pleased. And so I looked up this company, which was Ever Anime, and sure enough, it looks like it popped up as, don't buy from these people either. And I was like, oh, come on. Where am I supposed to go for this? Now, as we go forward, it's like now we're starting to be able to buy this stuff mainstream, and so like I snagged the selection of tracks from Final Fantasy X, and this is from Tokyo Pop, and this is licensed United States release. And this is, you know, very, very, very full liner notes with many, many color, just vibrant color pictures. Everything is in English. You know, the what they do have in there, and it's mostly just credits, but it's really, really nice disc, and I was happy to get this, but that you know, that kind of became what saved me on this. You know, it's like, and especially nowadays where you can buy so many of these albums on Amazon or just buy them digitally, and it's very, very easy to do. But there's a lot of stuff that you can't purchase in any kind of reasonable way. But so in doing this, and it's one of those things, it's like, you know, it has been so long, but I had always wanted to replace the disc I have, but I knew that's nigh impossible, because I mean, there's so many of them. There's so many, and to get true imports of these discs, and a lot of these are not even really available anymore. You know, some of them could be bought digitally, and they would be a lot easier that way, and a lot cheaper. But some of them I would even have to buy used, and at that point it's like, what's the point? It's like Uematsu's not getting royalties off a used disc, and so why replace it at that point? And so that's kind of always been in my head, but it's also always been in my head that that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I, you know, if it were one or two albums, there would be one thing. It's like, I could do that very, very quickly, but, it's not, it's a lot more, and it would be hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. And so I, you know, having soundtracks on the brain and all, I was like, you know, well, we should kind of do a story on this for the podcast, because this was a real problem that a lot of people ran into at the time and still do. It's like I started doing searches online and still found forum post of people who just realized that their entire collection was bootlegged, and that's causing the same frustration for them that it has for me. But then I found some more information, and it really does change the story, because bootleg doesn't have just one singular meaning, but a lot of times we view it in a very particular way, you know, under a very particular definition that is actually not the case here, right? So when we think of something that's bootlegged, it's like we're thinking of something that is, you know, that's just up and stolen, like a bootleg, record or bootleg, you know, album or something, is something where the music or whatever is just outright stolen and republished by somebody who does not have the rights to do this and sold on the market. And so, you know, it's like one of my favorite episodes of Seinfeld. Let's face it, all the episodes are one of my favorites. But there's a great episode of Seinfeld where Jerry is inadvertently recruited for this bootlegging team where they go into movie theaters with a camcorder and film the movies, and then they sell those movies on the street corner. And this remains a big industry that you can get, DVDs, of straight up illegal copies of the movies. And this remains a thriving industry. I have some DVDs. Like for one of my birthdays, I asked for, Akira Kurosawa films. I had just recently fallen in love with Kurosawa movies, and they were at the time very expensive to get. And one of my friends found a set of them on eBay, and bought them for me. And it was a Chinese bootleg, where they just up and, you know, just took these movies and repackaged them and sold their copies of it without giving the creators any money. And so that's kind of what we think of when we're talking about bootlegging. But there's also a different definition of bootlegging, and that's where you are illegally transporting the material. When you're doing illegal, like importing and exporting of otherwise legal material. And that's actually the case with Son Mei and a lot of these other ones. Son Mei had the right to produce and sell this music. They were paying royalties, back to the Japanese companies, to the composers, and they did legitimate legal production of the CDs for Taiwan. But they were only licensed to sell in Taiwan. And so the bootlegging part is not that they made the CD, because they paid Square for the rights to the CD. The Square got paid for that CD. Uematsu got paid for that CD. What the problem was that it was then exported to America, because Son Mei did not have the rights to sell these things in America. Those rights were sold to others. And so that's what we're talking about a lot of times when we are talking about bootlegging of early video game music, of like the SNES era and stuff like that. So I tried to research more on Ever Anime to see if they had the same situation. And it's tough to gauge this. I've kind of heard both ways on Ever Anime, that they are like just up and stealing this stuff, or they're in the same class as Son Mei. Okay, and so at this part of my research, I'm honestly ecstatic, because I was very concerned, because I really thought that I was contributing to the livelihood of who's probably, or most definitely my favorite living composer, Uematsu. And then I discovered, no, I'm not. And then, you know, years later, in the last few days researching this episode, it's like been a weight off my back that it's like, wait a minute. No, I mean, you know, it's like, okay, so these are not legal to sell in the United States, but Square and Uematsu were paid for it. Great. That made me so happy. But it doesn't seem to be all that clear of if that is exactly the case or not. I pulled up the actual website that sells anime stuff, including CDs and that sort of thing. And they have a FAQ in there that actually asks the question. It's like, hey, is this stuff bootleg? And they're like, no, you will not find Sonmei. You will not find ever anime on our website. And we don't believe that people should buy these things. And then they go into a kind of lengthy legal explanation that the reason that they're legal in Taiwan and not in the United States is not because they have purchased a license to manufacture and sell in Taiwan, but because Taiwan does not participate in international copyright law. And therefore, it is legal there to what we would all consider kind of bootlegging of just, you know, of just ripping the music, manufacturing it, not paying the original artists, the original composers, and that sort of thing. And so to this day, this has. I just remained to be a very, very, very murky problem. And not one with a very clear answer. And as somebody who is not an expert on international copyright law or the inner dealings with Sonmei, because Sonmei seems to be the one that keeps being pointed out in online articles as the one that legit paid for the use of this music. So not having all of that information, I and not being able to get a clear answer myself. One of the great things about living today is that a lot of it has just been, you know, done away with by the expansion of how we buy music, of music retailing. And it's no longer the case that I've got to go to one of the two places in town that sells anime and video game music, and they're both selling Sonmei. But you can go onto Amazon, onto iTunes, onto other places and get the real thing. So it wasn't terribly long ago I bought the Mega Man 3 soundtrack, that was published by Capcom directly. And I pulled up some Final Fantasy stuff on iTunes just to see. And like that original, that Final Fantasy VI soundtrack, the thing that started it all for me, the thing that I listened to just over and over and over again and ended up having to buy twice because, you know, some jerk took mine and then joined the stupid Marines. these things are available, you know, to purchase and download. And that album, 3 discs long, you know, like 3 hours of music was like $18. Like both times I bought the album, I paid more than $18 for it. And so, you know, this has been a problem that has mostly been overcome by technology, and there's so much great, great video game music that's available to us today, because of this technology, because of digital music in particular. I do think there's a long way to go, because there's a lot of just great old soundtracks that seem to have been lost to time. Except that YouTubers recorded off their NES or whatever and put it on YouTube. There's been a lot lost. And I think that I would love for the video game companies or whoever owns the rights to these games to upload them into iTunes and let us buy them direct. One of course the problems with that is a lot of these games have changed hands so many times that the actual creators of them, would not get the money. But at the same time, you know, it's like, I would love an environment that just really valued video game music, and did put it up, for people to buy. I think we are getting there. You know, it's like, if you had told me, well, I mean, goodness, if you had tried to explain the internet to me ages ago when I'm playing Super Mario Brothers, I thought you crazy, but that we could buy this soundtrack, it would be bewildering. But we're to that place with a click of a button, you can. And that's very, very cool. So, that is Taiwanese bootlegs in a nutshell. I know that ultimately I didn't answer any questions. I think ultimately I read enough that of people repeating that Son Mei in particular did pay the composers and stuff, that my heart is more at ease. That being said, since then I have purchased several things, you know, from like iTunes and Amazon, imported directly, that I know Uematsu got paid for, that he has gotten a significant amount of my money, and that pleases me because he's worth every penny of it. So that's going to do it for us today. I do appreciate you tuning in and going down this particular road with me. We will be back next week, and ever getting closer to episode 100, I do hope that you'll tune in to celebrate that with us. And we will catch you next time.
Brought to you by the Technopunk Boy. Follow us on Twitter at Technopunk Boy, on Facebook at the Technopunk Boy, and sign up for our email list at technopunkboy.com. Also look for us on Spotify, iTunes, and Amazon for music. If you are so inclined, please leave us a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast catcher. If you are not so inclined, you are obviously some sort of villain trying to conquer the world. Unowned music and new play clips are used for educational and critical purposes. Thank you for listening. Keep gaming. Unless you have responsibilities that need to be done over time, then you can game.